and welcome to another Disney vs. Disney Debates, the podcast where we will decide which is the best Disney film ever made. I am your Grandmaster, Zane C. Weber, here with my faithful fact checker, Julie Eisentrager.
Hi, team.
And we have two debaters here. To my right, we have none other than Curtis Lang.
Hello, hello, hello.
Who are you, Curtis? What do you do?
I'm a man about town, drinking jiva and doing theatre.
Yep.
And that's my bit, and I'm going to stand by it.
All right. And across the table, we have Chance Star Anderson.
Hello. That is I am Chance Star.
And who are you? What do you do? What are you about?
Oh, God, so much. I'm Chanster. I am a filmmaker slash actor in Brisbane. You can find my films on Ozflix or Vimeo. I probably do other things. And I've got a podcast on the network. Yeah, that one.
I've got one too. Sorry, can I take second run at it?
Now you're coming in.
You both have podcasts.
With podcasts. We do. Now I've got one.
That's the reason we're here, damn.
Mighty Motion Picture Rangers is Chance Stars. And Unfeatured Articles is Curtis Lang.
That is mine.
Now, gentlemen, why do you like Disney?
Well, I went through my rebellious teen stage from when I was like 12 to about 16, where I was like, Disney, ugh, lame. But then I saw Sky High, and then I bought Sky High on DVD, and then I watched Sky High a lot. And yeah, now I love Disney.
Sky High
is your entry point into Disney?
Well, technically there were others, but it was more my re-entry point.
Fair enough. I'm starting to feel rather confident about today's proceedings. Now, I love Disney. It's just they make so many good films, so many wonderful films, and they reek of childhood nostalgia.
They certainly do. And what film are you arguing for this evening, Curtis?
Today, I will be arguing for the early 2000s cult classic, Brother Bear.
Wonderful, Brother Bear. And across the table?
I will be going for the mid to 2010s. Why'd you say the year?
Yeah.
Zootopia, the best Disney film, obviously. Early in there, I'm only debating for one film. Just saying, because I'm so confident in my one film.
Yeah, Bachelor, I have spread myself amongst many horses.
Yes.
On record, I'll say Treasure Planet's the best Disney film, but I'm here and I'm ready to fight regardless.
Okay. So
I will say that Treasure Planet is better than Brother Bear, so I can't argue with you there.
Maybe Curtis Lang is feeling less confident now. So the format that we will be going with is 3-minute opening statements with a warning bell at 2, mm-hmm. in which you are to justify to me why your film is the best Disney film ever made. That will be followed by a 2-minute rebuttal as to why your opponent's film is not the best Disney film ever made. We'll then have a short break and come back with an open discussion. And if you have any questions you want your opponent to answer, you may ask then, and I will also throw in a couple of questions. And after that, we have 1-minute summation of your arguments, and then judgment.
Judgment.
Judgment from me.
When you say it like that.
Very unregular to receive judgment from Zane.
How dare you?
I love it.
The 5 criteria that I'm looking for are the memorable moments, what makes your movie memorable, the message that your film gives to its audience, the movie magic, what makes it the better film, the magic music, what in your film's music makes it better than any other Disney film. And the final catch-all category is that Disney touch. What did Disney do with your film that no one else could? So we have discerned who is going first. We rolled a dice. Chance Star won the roll and magnanimously gave the entry argument to Curtis Lang.
Poor decision.
So Curtis, you will have 3 minutes for your opening statements with a warning bell at 2, and I will cut you off at 3. Your time starts as soon as you start talking.
Now, I slightly did throw myself under the bus by saying that Treasure Planet is my favorite Disney film, but when Zane asked me to do this podcast, I did struggle to choose between Treasure Planet and Brother Bear. And that is because Brother Bear, I think, is one of the most enduringly wonderful, touching, and it's just got this magnificent message that is extremely pertinent in today's society, I think. I'll start off with the animation. It's gorgeous. The landscape shots in particular are beautifully drawn, and that is just something that we don't see in today's 3D animated films. I've said this before. I think that 2D Disney is a lot better than what we see today in 3D animated films. There is just something that is lacking in these 3D films that we used to get with these wonderfully hand-drawn films that we of yesteryear. As I said, the message of Brother Bear, I think. Now, Brother Bear is a story about, it is set in early human times, and it is about a young man. As the film so eloquently puts it at the beginning, a boy desperate to be a man. And it is about him and he, look, he gets turned into a bear. It's weird. But the message, go see the film. If you haven't seen the film, none of this is going to make sense. Especially pertinent in today's era, because we're talking so much today about toxic masculinity, I think. Kenai starts out rejecting the idea that love is a concept that can guide a man's life, and he embraces these more traditional ideas of vengeance, violence, and rejection of change. But by the end of the film, we see a total denial and reversal of that idea. Kenai has learnt through his relationship with this young cub of Coda that love, specifically brotherly love, and love between men is the gateway to a more tangible existence, the happiness in life. And he becomes much more centered within himself, much more confident of who he is. And he has finally done what he wanted at the beginning of the film. He has grown into a man. And I think that is just, it's so, such an enduring message, and one that we don't really, when we think of Brother Bear, I don't think we really kind of click into that is really what the film is about. It also, it talks about, there's this really wonderful moment where, Kenai is talking to Coda, and Coda is not aware that he is in fact a man in a bear's body at this point. And he's talking about, how awful bears are, Kenai is, and what monsters they are. And Coda's like, well, not all bears. I'm not like that. You're not like that. And then Kenai's like, oh, well, obviously not all bears. And it's such a just wonderful moment of like, oh, crap, not that word. But it is wonderful about this idea of it's just a subtle metaphor for racism. We saw that, see it in this film much earlier than we saw the subtle message for racism in my opponent's wonderful film, Zootopia. And that's pretty much all I've got.
Wonderful, because that's all the time you have. We will go straight over to Chanstar. You will have 3 minutes with a warning bell at 2 as to why Zootopia is the best Disney film ever made. Your time starts when you start talking.
All right, if we're talking just pure numbers here, Zootopia beats, unanimously, with it's the third Disney film ever to make $1 billion, whereas Brother Bear was not. It is not only one of the best Disney films, it is considered on both Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb the best buddy cop film. The only two films that even come close are Police Story 3 and Hot Fuzz. So that's just numbers, though. That's and 22 awards, won, 66 nominated. I believe Brother Bear was 1 or 3 nominated, no wins. Who cares? Anyway, moving on. Zootopia is such a film that is steeped in its themes and its messages. And there are so many layers to its themes and messages. And I'm not just talking about the film itself. I'm talking about the production of the film. From development to distribution, its themes designated how it was made. Even to the point that the theme of inclusivity is so throughout the film that they had hired disability service people to help design the city of Zootopia. So, you know, it would work for everyone living in it, in this world where everyone can be whatever you want. It's even more subtle ways throughout the film that these themes of not judging a book by its cover and duality. Every single minor character and side character have a sense of that duality, no matter how small it is, even from the character, the sloth guy, even to the fact that it was just an end joke at the start. They're like, oh, he's the fastest one around. And then it turned out, oh, he was literally the fastest guy in town. That one joke is this sense of duality. There's it all throughout the film. The elephant who was forgetful, the yak who happened to remember everything. The fact that Judy Hopps is a cute little bunny who wants to be this broiled cop. The fact that the whole film is about, predators who aren't aggressive, but becoming aggressive. The fact that the villain is a literal figurative, God, that's confusing, wolf in sheep's clothing. It's amazing. Music, which I'm disappointed you didn't touch on, but music, Shakira, Shakira, need I say more? I need not, but I will, because Michael Giacchino is a Oscar-winning composer for a reason. He was able to build the world and grow this world with the music. Every single track throughout that film gives a sense of place and time, and it just builds this world into what it is today. I'm sure there's more things I can say, but I talked fast.
You did talk fast. I will grant you that. Well done. Whew. Okay, I think I got all that down. But it is time to move on to the rebuttal. So we will hand over to Curtis. You will have 2 minutes, Curtis, to tell us why you think Zootopia is not the best Disney film ever made. And I won't give you a warning. I'll just cut you off when your time is done. Before we do that, though, Julie, is there any facts that need to be checked?
Yes, please. When speaking about awards, nominations and wins, what did you say for Brother Bear?
Oh, I couldn't remember. Okay. I said 3 or something. I know it didn't win any Oscars, but...
All right. I'll take it.
Okay, cool.
2, but I'll take it.
Oh, wait, 2 nominations?
No, wins.
Oh, 2 wins. Cool. Yeah. An Annie, I assume?
BMI Film and TV Awards, ASCAP Film and Television Music Awards.
Not even an Annie. I mean, I didn't mean to.
Nominated.
I'm sorry, Brother Bear. That didn't
nominated no. under 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 categories.
Mm. Cool.
But yes.
Cool. All right. Curtis, with that a little bit of indication, it's time for you to tell us why Zootopia is not as good as Chanstar thinks it is. Your time starts when you start talking.
The reason I didn't get into awards and that sort of thing is because I don't believe a group of old, elderly white men in Hollywood can dictate what is good and what is bad. Now, Rotten Tomatoes, notoriously awful aggregate website. Just because something is said it is good on there does not inherently make it so, my friend. I will now get on to the music, if I may. Shakira, kablubba. Now, Phil Collins wrote the music for this film, okay? Now, this was a couple years after Tarzan, all right? So already that has some of the greatest music in Disney history, and he just kept on firing along with this score. Look Through My Eyes, No Way Out, Tell Everybody I'm On My Way, which is one of the most catchy tunes in Disney history, I reckon. But when Phil Collins wasn't ripping out his mad vocals and drumming skills on the music of this film, he was working with Mark Messina in integrating this tribal kind of like early human vocal and choral work. And it really lays the groundwork for the scene. You want to talk about using the soundtrack to bring a movie through to all the way to the end. I think this film just does it without fail. Yeah, in terms of Zootopia, I think I do think it's a wonderful film. But I think, as I said before, the subtle nods to kind of racism and assumptions about people and what they are and what they are grouping them into things. I think it's more effective in Brother Bear than it is in Zootopia. Zootopia is, by design, very palatable to young children because that's what it's designed to be. Whereas I think this stands above that. It is a film that can be understood by children but also by adults because that theme is more of a subtle kind of overarching narrative technique there. And that's all I've got.
Cool.
Perfectly timed. All right. A lot of arguments to consider there. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break.
Oh, we'll... not me arguing. I haven't argued yet.
You haven't argued yet.
I haven't.
Zane.
I am so prepared to argue.
You've not let the men argue.
Your whole opening was an argument, yeah. Or at least felt like an argument.
You haven't felt an argument yet.
I'm very sorry. So what we'll do is we'll go to Chanstar. You'll get another 2 minutes to continue your argument, and then we'll take a break. So your time starts as soon as you start talking.
Okay, yes, you had Phil Collins, but you had a notoriously unhappy Phil Collins. He's gone on record many times saying how much he disliked working on Brother Bear, specifically because he didn't want to work. He's a singer-songwriter. He didn't want to work with another person. When he was hired, they specifically said they were going to have someone else singing his songs. Now, in the end, he ended up finding a compromise, and he ended up singing with Tina Turner, but he was still unhappy with that, and he still goes on record saying how much he doesn't like it, which means Phil Collins thinks he's too good for Tina Turner. I'm sorry, Phil Collins. I love you, but no one is too good for Tina Turner. She is a goddess. Anyway, moving on from that.
You got me there.
Oh, I was prepared for that so well. What else was even said? So you are right that the subtleties do work better for adults, and I am completely in agreement with you for that. But unfortunately, Brother Bear was a film of its time, and even speaking to people in every day, I was just trying to get a feel of how many people have watched Brother Bear. Everyone was like, oh, I love Brother Bear. When was your last see it? When I was a kid. Everyone has this nostalgia factor of it, and it doesn't actually, no one's rewatched it since then. I watched it as an adult, and I completely agree with you. I thought the themes of it really worked for someone like me, but I was watching it with my nephew, and it all went over his head. He did not care, whereas Utopia made him a very unracist boy. Fact.
All right.
Can we get a fact check on that? Can we call up your nephew, please?
All right.
Yeah, I would like his number. We're just going to fact check that one because...
Before we
what
go
do you think of the
break,
situation in America, my young man?
Are there any facts that need to be checked?
Look, the only one I'm trying to check at the moment is where you repeatedly said Phil Collins was unhappy about working on it. Can you tell me where you got it from?
Yeah. Well, how about we go to break and I'll send you the link.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll go to break and we'll come back with that very important fact check. Okie dokie, time for some questions and for some answers. So, both of you have mentioned a little bit about the messages that your movies put forward, and you've spoken quite well about your own movies. What I would like you to do is talk a little bit about the messages that your opponent's movie puts forward that maybe aren't great. So we will throw to Curtis first, as it is you have the honor of going first.
Okay.
There's no times here. This is free discussion. And if you don't have anything to say, you can say that you don't have anything to say.
No, it's fine. I think for the purposes of debate, because I do genuinely believe that Brother Bear handles its message in a better way than Zootopia does, because I appreciate Zootopia as it does what it was set out to do, with it is a very palatable entry level exercise in negative thinking and racism, let's call it what it is, for a younger audience. But I think separating it so clear-cuttedly into two distinct groups of predator, prey might have oversimplified the issue a bit.
But I don't think the movie does do it to such an extreme, because you have these two very separate things, but then you have the different levels of them that they explore all throughout the movie. The fact that Chief Bobo, what's his name? Idris Elba.
Yeah.
He is prey, but he's one of the strongest characters in the film. And that's that whole sense of duality once again. Clawhauser is this lovable, fat, donut-loving cop, and he's a predator. So, yeah, they have these two clear-cut things, but it never is clear-cut until that third act break where they go, oh, hey. The fact that no one thinks Judy can be a cop isn't because she's prey. It's because she's a rabbit, because she's small, because she's petite. That can also be viewed as a sexist view. You can look at things from a queer point of view. It's less straight racism. It's more judging things at face value.
Yeah.
Which I do agree with you that I think Brother Bears is more subtle. And I do really love that. But the fact that it is for kids aren't getting that message as well.
This might be an unpopular move, but I'm going to have to disagree with him.
I mean, cool. You're allowed to disagree.
No, not disagree. I'm going to have to just agree with him.
Oh, just agree.
Yeah.
I didn't hear it come out.
Unpopular move. Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to say about
I've got several questions. Yep. And it's really just a way to bring up things that I forgot to bring up about my own film. Because both of our films were, as far as the animation goes, they were both developed in very similar ways, but for hand-drawn for 3D. I'm pretty sure they both cite the exact same places that they went to look for wilderness to look. Because I know they both looked in Disney's zoos to see how bears moved and how like animals moved for Zootopia. But the fact that it is hand-drawn, all of the animation of the bear characters in particular feels very stilted and uncomfortable. And I don't think the hand-drawedness, the fact that they were trying to make it so realistic, really worked. Whereas Zootopia, because they had this 3D animation and they were anthropomorphizing these animal things, it really worked for it.
I will have to rebut that one. Please because, do. And I'm going to clear... I'm going to have to disagree with you here.
Awesome. Do it.
Because I think the way that they traditionally animate these bears makes them look so realistic. I think there are moments, there are a couple moments in the film that strike me in particular. There's a moment where Kenai stands up on his back legs as a bear and puts his paw up against, they find a cave of like First Nations kind of drawings and like... And there's a handprint, a human handprint on there. And he moves his hand, his bear paw up and puts it against it. And the way that bear paw moves is so meticulously thought out.
Yeah.
And the way that they have animated that, it's incredible to me. I also think there's a couple of moments, like there's a moment where when all the bears kind of congregate at this at the salmon run, there's a moment where like this young sexy bear, he comes up and he like offers this lady some flowers and she like her neck kind of like ruffles into like kind of like a feminine sort of like petticoat kind of not a petticoat. I don't know what, like a fur, like a fur coat or something like that. And like the way that like they use like the actual parts of the bear to anthropomorphize them is really, really cool and interesting, I think, because it's not, I think it would be easier to do that in a 3D animated way to anthropomorphize them so far, but I think they do it so much more effectively in 2D.
See, I think, because I don't disagree with you with the moment you brought up, but there are certain moments throughout the film, specifically where other things seem a bit more cartoony. Mm. The salmon run, I really didn't like the whole 3D animation they added into it.
Yeah.
Same with at the start, they had used that same style in Lion King. In fact, they had a more intricate version in this one and it looked worse. Everything else was hand-drawn. Then they have these 3D, I know it was salmon. I can't remember what the things at the start. I'm just going to say wildebeest. Screw it.
Yeah.
They just look ugly. And that wasn't a creative choice. That was a fast choice. That was, let's just do this because it's quick. We've got this technology now.
I would argue that was during a time where it was the end of the era of the 2D films and they were experimenting with 3D technology so that they could do movies like Zootopia. So I'd blame Zootopia for that.
That's a little circular.
Throwing a long bow, but I'm gonna shoot anyway. I think.
Is there any other questions before we move on?
I would ask what you think of the casting, because there is one particular cast member that I was really excited about until I saw, because this was my first time watching the movie.
Yeah.
And I've always known that Rick Moranis was in the movie.
Yeah.
Why the hell is Rick Moranis just reprising his role from an SNL sketch? What's with that? And how is any kid watching this gonna get that reference? The only reason I got it is because I've watched so much SNL in my life. I was like, is that that's Rick Moranis?
Well, see, I would argue that who's the actor who plays Nick? Who's the actor who plays Nick?
Oh, Jason Bateman.
Now, Jason Bateman is just doing himself from SNL.
I don't know if he's doing himself from SNL. He's just doing himself.
And I think that is more of a voice acting sort of thing, because these large companies, they contract these people with these recognizable voices to do something specific.
Rick Moranis has a very unique voice. Yeah. You hear him as Dark Helmet. You see him as these things. But his voice as this SNL character is very distinctly Canadian.
Yeah.
And the entire movie, I'm like, ooh, I wonder who Rick Moranis is going to be. And then this moose rocks up and I was like, oh yeah, that's Rick Moranis. Yeah.
No, the moose are excellent though. They're just hysterical.
But they don't serve a point to the movie. Whereas all the side characters in Zootopia, they're all steeped in the themes of the movie. The moose are just there. They're funny, sure, but they don't serve a point. And they're the only returning characters other than the main characters in the sequel. Why? Why are they there?
Comedy. Popularity.
Popularity, yep. And
yeah,
comedy.
But that's Scrat from
Ice Age. And if we're
going
to talk about the sequel, we could talk about bad Disney sequels till the cows come home.
Sequels are not part of this debate unless you want to make them part of this debate.
Season two, baby. Let's go.
Okay. Well, if that's the end of the questions, I do have one final. This is a simple answer from both of you. Other than rewatching your movies for this debate, when was the last time you chose to watch the movie that you're arguing for?
Literally about a month before you had brought up, you'd pitched the idea of the debate.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd watched it with my wife because I'd bought it on DVD.
Brother Bear, I believe it was a similar time. I believe it's a Disney film that I continue to come back to. It's one of the ones along with Treasure Planet and other films like that. I believe I watched it within the last 2 months, actually, before I knew I was confirmed to be doing this one to be defending Brother Bear. Yeah. Within the last 2 months, I would say.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's take a break and we will come back with your final summaries and my judgment.
Excellent.
All right, so this is the final part of our debates where each of our debaters will have 1 minute to give us a final summary of their arguments and rebuttals. Curtis, as always, you will be going first this time. You'll have 1 minute and your time starts when you start talking.
Brother Bear, to me, is a fantastic film, not only in the way it is designed, the way it is voice acted, the way it is... just the way it's done, it's so wonderful to watch and to revisit for me. I think it hits the perfect point of being like a film that I can dedicate time to because it says something, and a film that I can watch because I enjoy it and because it hits that nostalgia button for me. The 2D animation I think is just gorgeous. In particular, the wonderful landscapes. There's a shot near the beginning when Sitka, the eldest brother of Kenai, dies, and there's a long line of people coming up the side of a mountain with these torches, and it evokes such a sense of grief and wonderment. It's so wonderful. Zootopia, I think, is a fantastic film, but it just does not hit me in the same way that Brother Bear does. Beg your pardon.
That's your time. Well done. We will go straight to Chan Star. Again, you will have 1 minute and your time starts as soon as you start talking.
Brother Bear is one of those rare occasions where Disney didn't make something that was risque. It was one of the safest choices they made. Lion King succeeded, so they were like, hey, let's do Bears now. And it failed on all accounts. It was a commercial and critical failure. It was such a critical failure that it is only one of two Disney films that is rated lower than its straight-to-DVD sequel. It is both predictable and plotting. I mean, the main character kills a bear and then turns into a bear and hangs out with a baby bear looking for his mom. I wonder who he killed. Zootopia is refreshing. And the message of Be Anything is really inspiring, especially for someone like me who is an actor with a speech impediment. When I watched that movie, it wanted me to get back into acting, which was really good for me. Probably not for the listeners. I forgot to be aggressive the whole episode. I got it all on this end bit.
All right. Okay. Well, while I tabulate my marks, please take some time to tell each other why you like the other person's film, even more so than what you've already
been doing. Yeah, I feel like, because I went into this so prepared to be just destroying you, but like, because there are a lot of things that I land up at the end there.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, this was my first time watching Brother Bear. It came out during my dark period of Disney. And it was really great. The one of my favorite moments, I'm really bummed you didn't bring it up, was the fact that when he tells what's the young one
Coda.
Called? Coda, what happened.
Yeah.
It no dialogue. You see it happen, a song starts, and it's all just
from a filmmaking point of view.
Visual.
Yeah, that is it is
from
wonderful.
A filmmaking point of view, it is amazing. There are certain just creative aspects. Once again, I hoped you would bring up because I could tear it down. Like the point that from the beginning of the movie to the point that he turns into a bear, the aspect ratio is 16:9. The moment he turns into a bear, it goes to wide Anamorphic.
Yeah.
Now, that is a great filmic decision. Doesn't work on DVD. I thought something wrong with my DVD. I zoomed in. It wasn't until I was reading it on Wikipedia. I was like, oh, wait, zoom out. Oh, we've missed all this screen.
Yeah.
But no, honestly, it's such a sweet movie. And the fact that it had so much to say about toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
What was it? 17 years ago. It is still relevant today.
Yeah.
It was just that part really blew me away.
Yeah. Look, Zootopia is the best 3D Disney film. It is just, it's fantastic. They did such a magnificent job with making such a complex and gripping issue palatable for a younger audience. I know so many people who were like, I showed this film to my kids and they just got it, man. Like, yeah. It's just fantastic. And Nick is too attractive. Yep, that's the end of my bit.
No. I think Curtis is qualified to say that.
Yep.
See, okay.
It's a positive for another time. I'll bring it up in my if I get into the next bit, I'll bring it up. If not, I'll just put it in the end of this episode. Let's find out, Zane. Just give us the judgment already. Stop looking at me like that.
Okay. All right. I will. Music.
Contentious.
Shakira versus Phil Collins.
Sad Phil Collins. Sad Phil Collins.
Sad Phil Collins.
Sad Phil Collins.
But arguably Phil Collins is best at his saddest.
Oh, that is.
And I will say, just weight of arguments, that has to go to Brother Bear. I think music doesn't play a huge role in Zootopia, and so obviously you didn't have a lot to argue with there.
I just had even, to go for the offensive.
Even with Phil Collins being sad about it, the fact that he did write it and perform it and Tina Turner was part of it, I think the music goes to Brother Bear.
That is one of the least surprising things I've ever heard.
Also, the memorable moments. Now, both of your films do have a lot of memorable moments and a lot of moments with characters. But I think, Curtis, you really focused on these amazing visuals, that vigil up the mountain with the torches, all the amazing landscapes that came through on Brother Bear. I think a lot of the memorable moments in Zootopia come through the side characters, which we didn't get a lot of time to talk about on either movie.
Alan Tudyk.
Oh, Alan Tudyk.
What a man, what a mighty good man.
So again, memorable moments went to Brother Bear. When it came to the movie magic, though, I think Zootopia ticked all the boxes here. Fair. It is an almost perfectly scripted film. Yeah. And not in small part to the messages that it incorporates. And so both the message and the movie magic go to Zootopia, which leaves me with that Disney touch.
Oh.
Neither of you really put a lot in this category for me to go with.
Mm.
But John Starr saying that this was an easy choice for Disney and an almost way for them to kind of capitalize on Lion King, I think that is very obvious and counted as a point against Brother Bear.
Mm.
Which means that Zootopia is the better Disney film.
I am so glad I brought that up in the end because that was.
Yeah.
I forgot to bring up the whole King Lear thing.
I'm not even upset.
You were tying in that category until you gave me that point there.
Ooh, that is.
So congratulations, Chan Star.
Don't thank me. Thank Zootopia.
Thank you, Zootopia, for existing.
Yep.
I believe the sloth's name is Flash.
Yes, that's it. I was like, zip, zap,
spark.
Fasty, spark, bolt,
Flash. The amount of footage of that scene that they showed in the trailers made me so exhausted. It was just like every film for 2 months.
I find that scene so stressful. Yeah. I am a Judy at heart.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, why are we here? But congratulations. You very well argued, Curtis.
Yeah. I knew I was on the back foot, but.
And Brother Bear, I think, is a highly underrated film.
Mm. I think it's got a huge chance on Facebook. From the people I spoke to who love it from childhood, I think you're probably.
This will be a really interesting one. So if you think I've made the wrong choice by picking Zootopia as the winner of this debate, If you're listening to this, there will be a poll up on our Facebook page where you can vote for your pick in this argument. And if Brother Bear beats out Zootopia, it has a chance to come back as a wild card entry in the second round of the debates. So please go and check that out. You can find us on Instagram and on Twitter. Before we go, thank you again, Curtis. Is there anything you would like to plug before we say goodbye?
Yeah, go and listen to everybody's favorite, That's Not Canon. It's an MA rated podcast. Don't listen with your family, kids. unfeatured articles. I myself, James Kehoe, and our brand new co-host, Hannah Flannery. That should be coming out very soon. It this should be out by the time yes. This episode drops, actually. We each bring in a Wikipedia article every week, and we talk about they're goofy, they're weird, the articles you might say are unfeatured. So go have a listen to that. You can catch me around Brisbane doing comedy and stuff. Yeah. Sometimes I sing, sometimes I do drama. Oh, I'm doing Holding the Man at the moment. At Underground Productions.
What dates are they at?
That is the 27th of February to the 3rd of March.
That might work out perfectly.
Wonderful.
For this drop. So
I can't say my discount code on this podcast because it's naughty.
Check out Unfeatured Articles. I'm sure it'll be mentioned
yeah,
there.
We'll mention it there.
And Chanstar.
Look, you can always listen to everyone's second favorite That's Not Canon Productions podcast, which is Mighty Motion Picture Rangers. I host it. I am, obviously the more unprepared out of all the hosts on that one. But you know what? You can also check out my films. L Plates and Pizza Deliverance are both currently on Ozflix and Vimeo. And hell, why not check out a great feature film I'm part of, even though he already tagged him. I'm going to do it anyway. It's Red Curtain Hell. It's a great feature film starring me as the only character who survives, I think. It's unconfirmed, but I like to think I survive. And there are other characters who survive.
We all like to think that important. You survive.
Thanks, Zane. So that's Red Curtain Hell. You can find it on vimeo.com/ondemand/Red Curtain Hell. Use coupon code Picture Rangers for 20% off your rental or purchase.
It's almost like you've said that too many times.
Almost.
I've said it on podcasts, not even on this network now. It is out there.
All right. Thank you again to our faithful fact checker, Julie Eisentrager.
So welcome.
And we'll catch you next time, everyone. Keep watching Disney.
A mess. War, famine, politics.
Why can't everyone just get along?
Yeah, like in musicals. Musicals fix everything.
If people listened and learned from musicals, everything would be better.
Music, lights, and spontaneous choreography. What isn't there to love?
If you want to learn all of life's important lessons,
or just listen to some musical theatre nerds wax lyrical,
subscribe to Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, wherever you find fun and funny podcasts.
Or at our website at thatsnotcanonproductions.com.
A That's Not Canon Productions podcast.